Our scripture reading today comes from 2 Peter chapter 3, is verses 8 through 13. I invite you to follow along. This is, you can find a Bible there in the back of the pew in front of you. That day the heavens will pass away with a dreadful noise. The elements will be consumed by fire, and the earth and all the works done on it will be exposed. And since everything will be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be? You must live holy and godly lives, waiting for and hastening the coming day of God. Because of that day, the heavens will be destroyed by fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness is at home. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, help us to hear your words, to know your heart, and to receive your spirit so that we may grow in your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. I am so thankful for Kelly's children's message this morning because we did not coordinate this at all. But it happens to go together because in just a few days, I imagine many of you, if not most of you, will be thinking about your New Year's resolutions. Some of you may even already have them in mind, am I right? No, okay, all right. Thanks for the honesty there. But if you are, you know what? This is natural. I mean, a lot of us want to change some things this year because this past year has been hard. Globally, we've experienced a number of natural disasters and man-made destruction. There's the war in Ukraine that is raging on, and the Israel-Hamas war is the bloodiest it's ever been. And here at home, we've experienced inflation while salaries and retirement wages have remained stagnant. And the trust of the government and the media is at an all-time low. And this isn't just Americans. This is worldwide where people just aren't trusting each other. And even the trust of the church is low. So more and more people turn away from the church and they abandon their faith altogether. And so we make resolutions this year or this time of year because we want to make our life better. We want to make the world a better place. But I'm going to say something that's a little controversial. Maybe you should skip it. Not making the world a better place. No, we definitely need to keep doing that. But maybe the idea of New Year's resolutions. Why? Kelly gave us an excellent example. When the kids were missing with the buttons in the bowl or they bounced out. Because according to Forbes, 92% of people fail at their New Year's resolutions. And if that's the case, should we just give up? No. Yet there's got to be a better way to set our goals that will help us bring about better success. And there is. And we need more. You need more than just good intentions. You need a strategy. And our strategy has to be more than just waiting for Jesus to return. So as you think about setting your goals for next year, the big question to ask is, what is your strategy? Because here's the truth. What you do every single day matters so much more than what you say on New Year's Day. And a simple solution is making the correction to spend more time working on your strategy for implementing your goal than it is on thinking about and coming up with your goal. And if we do this consistently, if you do it consistently, then you'll be a part of that 8% who realize their new goals and not the 92% who don't. So no matter what you do, breaking a bad habit, starting a new habit, changing something in your life, you need a strategy. And here today, and for us, as followers of Christ, our strategy is to make life better and you better at life is to focus on growing in grace, to practice living into and offering grace. And this has four steps. I've made it easy for us. First, we humble ourselves. Then we submit to Christ. Then we look for and we notice God's presence. Then we participate in God's grace. And see, we already began this process. We already opened ourselves up to the first steps as we entered into Advent. We began growing in grace by preparing the way. As we prepared for Christmas, we're preparing our hearts and our lives to celebrate Christmas and for the return of Christ. But now that Christmas is here, we sing and we celebrate. What child is this? Emmanuel, that God is with us. And we continue preparing the way. We don't stop just because Christmas is here, because we never know when Christ might return. And in Peter's apocalyptic passage this morning, we're reminded it could be any moment. After all, what is time to God? See, Peter alludes to Psalm 90, verse 4, that 1,000 years is a short period to God, that God is outside of time, that God is not constricted nor confined by space and time and matter. And that Jesus has promised to return, and God has promised to renew heaven and earth and to bring heaven to earth. And we await these promises, and many days we wonder, why hasn't all this happened yet? Anybody wonder that? Because God is patient. And God is patient with us. God is patient with us because patience is part of God's nature. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit, that God is slow to anger and quick to forgive. That God is patient and merciful because God knows how hard-headed and how hard-hearted we are. And God is waiting for us to allow God to change us from the inside out. And God is not going to force us to change. Yet God is waiting for us to do so. And when we trust God, that change, that metamorphosis, it happens. And we grow in God's grace. So a new year, another year, is a new opportunity and another opportunity to grow in God's grace. And we start by humbling ourselves. That when things don't go our way, instead of focusing on forcing things to happen how we want them to happen, we offer kindness. We do the good that we can. And we trust God with the rest. We trust God to use us and our circumstances amid our tragedy and pain to create something good. We trust God to take our bad situation and make it better, or help us to make it better. And here's what I mean. I mean, we're all fully aware of the problem of evil and suffering in this world. But there's also the eternal presence of God. It's all around the world. So despite the bad things, the evil things, the things we don't like to happen, we also have the continuous presence of God's goodness, that God is right there with us. And this is God's grace. That even in the middle of our own brokenness, somehow God is still at work. That God is still making beautiful things out of the dust and ash of our life. This is God renewing us and giving us an opportunity to look for his presence, to look for his love, to look for his healing, and to embrace the work of the Holy Spirit in our life to make it better. I'm reminded of the words of Fred Rogers. Most of us remember him as Mr. Rogers, that he said, when bad things happen, look for the helpers. That you will always find people who are helping. Well, who are the helpers? That's us. You and I, let us be the ones who are participating in God's grace. That while we are waiting for God's promise, we live holy and godly lives by embracing God's grace that invites us to see God all around us. To see God's grace that heals us of our brokenness. To see God's grace that enables us to be agents of healing and reconciliation. In John 3:27, when John the Baptist realized who Jesus was and his disciples saw what Jesus was doing, they came to John to make a report, and John replied that no one can receive anything unless it is given to them from heaven. And then John said, "And he must increase, and I must decrease." See, in the midst of the changing of their ministries, John didn't make it about himself. He made it about God. Likewise, by God's grace, we have received this amazing gift from heaven called salvation. And we didn't earn it. We didn't buy it. It's a gift from God. It was all God who made it all happen through Jesus Christ. And so when we receive it, our response is to live into the reality of it. Therefore, we must decrease our ego so that Christ can increase in our life. That we must make it less about us and more about God, more about loving God, more about following Jesus, more about loving others, more about healing, more about reconciliation. This is fundamentally how we grow in grace. And our strategy begins with us humbling ourselves and submitting ourselves to Christ. And it starts right here in our heart. Because there's a battle raging in our heart and in our mind for what we want. And sometimes our battles are best fought on our knees, spending time in prayer, where we take it to God. And what we cannot fix, we trust God to guide us through. I was talking with a mother this past week whose teenage daughter has done a complete 180. 6 months ago, her daughter was sneaking out in the middle of the night to go smoke and drink with boys and other friends who were people who she thought were friends that turned out to not really be friends after all. And now, through a lot of her mom's prayers and patience, her daughter is learning what it means to think about her actions and how she would feel tomorrow about the decisions she made today. She's learning what true love really is as opposed to lust or the absence of loneliness. She's learning what it means to be loved by God and to love others in response to being loved. And that, my friends, is grace at work. And in a deeply divided world, it's important that you and I become the ones who unite people, who bring people together and help point people towards Jesus with our words and our actions. So let us be patient and diligent and start with a strategy that relies on God working on us and in us and through us. Finally, what better way to start than to humble ourselves and renew our covenant with Christ in front of God and one another? Amen.